Good morning. Good morning, wherever you are. Yes, this is Carl McIntyre, and freedom is everybody's business. Your business, my business, the church's business, and a man who will not use his freedom to defend his freedom, what is it, folks, does not deserve his freedom. Well, we're moving into Revival 76 here in Collingswood, New Jersey. We wish all of you could be here to get the blessing and to see what the Spirit of God is doing in the hearts of people. Now the campaign, of course, to get WXUR back on the air is moving across the country. We're getting hundreds and hundreds of petitions, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting fantastic response from you people. I think I'll take time and read a few of the letters. We've got lawyers writing. We've got clergymen writing. We've got former commanders of the Navy writing. We've got all kinds of people all over the country, and the issue has gotten through to millions and millions of people that the United States government now is repressing the speech. They're denying the First Amendment by the bureaucrats. They're doing it. They're doing it against us, and they're taking away the radio from the people. Now, the radio does not belong to the government. Remember. You know, these socialists say, well, the radio belongs to the people. That means, therefore, it belongs to the government. No, no, no. When it belongs to the people, in our setup, in our ideology, it does not belong to the government. When it belongs to the people have got a right to use it and to exercise the freedom that God has given them and which is protected in the United States. And this is one point where there must be some clarification. The men in Congress, some of them, have the idea that if it belongs to the people, it belongs to them because they're representing the people. No, no, not at all. When you get into these areas of speech and the control of speech and the use of media for communication, these things belong to the people. And they never did belong to Congress, and they don't belong to Congress, and they shouldn't belong to Congress. And we're going to have to fight to keep them in our hands so we can use them freely. So we can use our freedom to deal with our government and to deal with the forces of evil that arise about it. The great issue now is free speech and the free exercise of religion, and thousands of you people can see it. And I want to report again what I did yesterday, that I had a letter from a group of people who had made a contract to buy a radio station in this country and to make out of it a Christian station. Here's a group of individuals that made a contract to buy a station and to turn it into a Christian station. And two things happened. The men that made the contract decided they'd have to get out from under it. They'd have to break it because they were afraid of what would happen in the transfer of the license at the FCC. Consequently, they canceled and proceeded to play simply rock music. They got their license renewed without a whisper. And the financing, the second point, the financing that had been secured for the Christian station collapsed. The men who were going to finance it said, we can't put our money in a Christian station now. If we do, it's possible that they'll get into trouble with hearings or complaints, and we might even lose our license like WXUR did, and if we do, we'll lose all our money. And the great tragedy is that the FCC has fixed up a setup where when the complaint is made against the station, nobody can sell it. They don't even give permission to sell. You have to die, and you have to die dead, and you have to lose every penny you put in it. And now that's a part of the strictures that the FCC has put in, this whole fairness doctrine licensing system, so that if you don't do what they say, you'll lose everything you have. Now these are the things that are so wrong. These are the things that are used to repress freedom. And Faith Theological Seminary has lost $450,000. Simply gone down the drain of the Federal Communications Commission. And why the government should so fix it that when a license is taken away, you not only lose the license and lose the opportunity that you had of operating a radio station, you lose your financial investment. You lose it all. But they have to have it that way in order to have the necessary pressures to make the radio stations conform. They have to have these economic controls also in order to compel the radio stations to conform to the speech regulations that the bureaucrats in Washington set up and of which they are to be the judges. Now let's have a word of prayer. We've got these stories coming out of Vietnam. Here's a big story I found in the London Times on Sunday that the North Vietnamese have initiated an invasion into South Vietnam. Yesterday, the New York Times said South Vietnamese, formerly at peace, find ceasefire accord a mockery. The very thing that Dr. McIntyre said, I said it was a mockery, I said it would be a fiasco, and the war goes on. There has been no peace out there with honor. In fact, there's been no kind of peace at all. In fact, we're having some of the greater, larger engagements now than we had even during the time when the United States was in there and was a part of the conflict. No, ladies and gentlemen, and as I go around and hold these rallies, and I did out in Spokane and out in the Northwest, the people out there still think the United States should stand up to the communists. They still think we shouldn't permit the communists to overrun us and to intimidate us and force us to retreat. They still think we ought to have won the victory and brought the boys home with the salute and the honor of a great nation. Now let's have our prayer together. This is Carl McIntyre, the 20th Century Reformation Hour, coming to you. And thank God, ladies and gentlemen, we're still able to broadcast on some of the radio stations. And we've got to keep our bills paid up. We've got to keep the stations taken care of. And pray that the stations will continue to air this program. And you can hear the news of the struggle for freedom. The struggle for freedom. Now we've got some stories that are beginning to appear in some of the religious papers where our enemies are rejoicing. They seem to be very happy that Dr. McIntyre is being silenced. They seem to be very pleased that his theological seminar over here may be foreclosed upon if the mortgage isn't paid. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the mortgage is being paid, and you people are helping to do it. It's $4,500 every month, and there's been no default of any kind, but you good people are going to have to come forward and help us and hold up our hands and back us. And now you're going to have to join us with these petitions. You're going to have to work as you have never worked before. Liberty has been denied by the United States government. The liberty of preachers. The liberty of men to buy radio stations and turn them into Christian stations. You've got all rock stations. You've got all Black Panther stations. You've got all news stations. You've got all music stations. But if you try to have a Christian station, ladies and gentlemen, you are in trouble. And you're in trouble with the FCC itself, and you're in trouble with certain groups in the area that raise their complaints and file them under the Fairness Doctrine, and almost anybody can find something to complain about if they want to do it. And this is why Dr. McIntyre now is in the struggle of his life. We're in the battle of all the years that we've been witnessing for Jesus Christ. And we want the radio and the television stations to be taken out from under this repressive, intimidating power of the Federal Communications Commission. We want them to have permanent licenses so they can operate as free as the newspapers without the threat or the possibility of threat or repression from the powers that happen to be in control of the government of that particular time. Free speech rises above the government. Free speech rises above the Constitution. We had it before we had a Constitution. And the free exercise of religion is the number one liberty. It's the first freedom protected in the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And the Federal Communications Commission has prohibited. It has denied the free exercise of religion. It's put a religious Christian station to death because the FCC didn't like the station. They didn't like the way the station was operating. They didn't like some of the things that were being said on the station about themselves. They didn't like the man that was doing it, Dr. Carl McIntyre. That's your problem. And you've got to get speech above the likes and the dislikes of the people. You've got to get the free exercise of religion up in the area where men who fear God can preach the Word of God. And it was this situation, my good friend, that forced us off the mainland and forced us to go out into the Atlantic and set up a station so we could have the free exercise of religion on the waves of the ocean where it's been denied to us here in the United States of America in the case of WXUR. Our Father, we come to Thee again. Again and again we pray. Again and again we thank Thee for Thy mercy and for Thy faithfulness and for Thy goodness. And Lord, wilt Thou undertake, wilt Thou bless us, and wilt Thou keep us close to Thee. This is our prayer. Provide the financing. May the people respond as they have never, never responded before. And we ask that Thy name shall be great in Israel. We pray that the people may recognize that there is religious persecution in this country. That people may realize that a formula has been developed in Washington where one religious group can get the aid of our government to crush another religious group and to take from them the blessings of the free exercise of religion. This is our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last evening in our Revival 76, which we are conducting, and I'm the evangelist here in our own church, and we thank God for the prayers of your people. We're having a magnificent time. I spoke from Psalm 62, verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And verse 10, just above that, reads, trust not in oppression. Trust not in oppression. Here we are, we've got a government down here that trusts in oppression. Their trust is to get rid of these things that they don't like. And that's exactly what's been going on. The whole Watergate scandal is in this whole area. They were trusting in their power to oppress. And now we've got the oppression that's come upon the people in the realm of speech from the Federal Communications Commission. God hath spoken once. Well, that's all He needs to speak is just once. That's all He needs is just once. But twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. The power of creation was in His hands. He spake and everything came into being. The power of salvation is His. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the, what is it? Power of God. And power is what God Himself uses when He takes a sinner out of the kingdom of Satan and translates him over into the kingdom of His dear Son. There is power in the blood. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. And it's this power, ladies and gentlemen, greater is He who's in you than he who is in the world. And it's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Isn't it glorious to have that kind of power? Now, this is the power that was manifest in the miracle of the new birth. It takes the power of God to save a sinner. It takes the power of the Almighty God to lift us up out of the muck and the mire of sin and put our feet on a rock and enable us to stand, and having done all, stand. We are a people of faith, but we're a people of power. And my dear friend, as we stand in this present great struggle with the powers that be in Washington, our God is more powerful than all the men of Washington put together. Our God is more powerful than all the kings of the earth put together. Our God is a God of power. Call upon me, He said, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, my dear friend, I want you to be in great prayer with us, especially for Radio Free America. This is our ship of freedom. This is our ship of faith. This is our ship of power out on the great Atlantic. And now the Congress, or rather the FCC, we're asking the Congress to take care of these matters. And I have the letter that just came from Mr. Rarick yesterday. I'd like to read it to you. It's a very, very encouraging letter because it means that things are beginning to move. Here's a letter. Dear Doctor, I thought you would be interested in knowing that Chairman Peter Rodino of the House Committee on the Judiciary has requested departmental reports on my bill, H.R. 10076, for the relief of WXUR and WXUR-FM. This is the initial step that must be taken before hearings can be scheduled. I'm enclosing a copy of the notice I received from Chairman Rodino. With kind personal regards, sincerely, and it's John Rarick. So the bill was introduced. It's gone to the Committee on the Judiciary. The chairman of that committee has now taken the first act necessary in order to proceed toward having a hearing before the Judiciary Committee on that bill. Isn't that magnificent? And then we have the radio responses. Here's a beautiful letter written to Thomas Bennett, Windsor, Illinois. Dear Thomas, your recent letter has been received, and I am pleased that you have taken the time to contact me. I will obtain a copy of the legislation introduced by Congressman Rarick to restore the license to WXUR. I plan to support the bill, hoping you will continue to feel free to contact me at any time. And with kind personal regard, I remain yours sincerely, and is signed George. George E. Shipley, Member of Congress from the 22nd District of the State of Illinois. He lives in Alleny, Illinois. Now, my friends, this is exactly what's happening. When you go to your congressman, and they look at this question, and then they get the straight on what the FCC has been telling them. The FCC's been misleading the congressman. The FCC's been giving a wrong account of what happened and what the situation is. And then when the congressmen begin to see what the FCC has done in misleading the congressmen on these things, they really do get stirred up. The bureaucrats down there think they can manipulate the congressmen. And the bureaucrats down there think that they have more power than the Congress itself. And they've got many of these congressmen with a hands-off attitude when it comes to this matter of correcting or of overturning, making right some decision. Now, I have a letter here that's been sent to the Honorable Barry Goldwater from George W. Nielsen. His law offices are in the Petroleum Building in Los Angeles. It's addressed to Barry Goldwater, re-bill in Congress. Dear Barry, your letter of September the 7th is concerning the bill introduced by Congressman Rarick involving the reissue of a broadcast license to WXUR. I do not know where this letter has been because I just saw it on Friday. Anyhow, here is the important part. You say, quote, "My initial thoughts on this matter are that the FCC and the courts have ruled on this legislation. Legislation, if passed, would really open a can of worms because any decision of a regulatory body could be gotten around." End of quote. Now, Goldwater saying that if you do this, you can get around other decisions of regulatory bodies. Now, here the attorney writes, "This disturbs me, you say, because if the Congress cannot correct the arbitrary and illegal acts of the bureaucrats, we are in a sad situation. As a matter of fact, we are already a dictatorship under bureaucrats. I think I've written you on the subject of bureaucrats before. If not, I can tell you now I'm sick and tired of bureaucrats. Congress, of course, must have assistance in carrying out its laws, but there is no excuse for granting to the FCC the authority to cancel stations' licenses in the arbitrary way that it has in connection with WXUR. I understand that the FCC is also in the process of eliminating radio station KAYE. One thing that bothers me, here we are a Christian country founded on Christian laws based on biblical teachings, yet the FCC arbitrarily can take off the air a station which has been established by contributions of Christian people and which disseminates Christian doctrine. There are entirely too many bureaucrats and too much authority is exercised by the bureaucrats. Therefore, that whole matter should be examined, re-examined, especially the FCC, and I know of no one better qualified than you are. It seems to me that we could get rid of one-third to one-half of the bureaucrats and thereby reduce our expenditures tremendously. I am going to write to the American Bar Association on this matter, and I will send you a copy of the letter which I write to them. That a court sustained the FCC does not impress me. many court decisions are wrong. In any event, the important question is to limit the power of the FCC and other bureaucrats. Cordially yours. A copy went to the American Bar Association. Now, here's an attorney in Los Angeles taking it upon himself. Then here's another very excellent letter. It's at some length, sent by Commander U.S. Navy retired Richard D. Blair from Bonita, California. There's a note with it saying that I may use this letter in any way that we see fit. And he's writing it in answer to a letter which the congressman wrote him. And this good retired commander of the United States Navy has got the story straight. Now, this is what you're going to have to do. When these congressmen write you back and you find out they don't have the story straight, then you give them another letter and keep it going, folks. Keep it going. We now have a bill in Congress, WXUR, to be restored by an act of Congress. It'll be the first time that anything like this has ever happened, but it's the first time that the FCC ever killed a station, ever killed a radio station because of speech problems. And the issue finally came down to the fact that the FCC said that the station hadn't revealed its full programming plan. So the government has to know what you're going to talk about before they give you permission to talk. That's what it comes to, and that's where it is today. And all you good people out there, God bless you, Dr. McIntyre's here doing everything he possibly can. Now, here's a story out of Memphis, Tennessee. FCC takes stand on women's lib. AP, Benjamin L. Hooks, the lone black member of the FCC, has warned broadcasters that they must stop discriminating against women or face action by the agency. I'm hoping it will not take court action or denial of license, he said. I believe that the majority of men and you women who own broadcast facilities intend to do right. But like most of us, they need a little help, and that is what we plan to do. Hook spoke Saturday night at a meeting of the Southern Chapter of the American Women in Television and Radio. About 200 women broadcasters and executives from broadcast chains in 9 southern states were in attendance. Now, here we go again. Here we go again. You can have all the ideas you want about women's lib this way or that way, but the FCC has no business making a position on women's lib a condition of somebody getting a license. And here this one member of the FCC warns the broadcasters that they must stop discriminating against women or face action from the agency, and he indicates that the action that is possible is a denial of the license. You see, once you open up this door for these various social matters and theories and desires of different pressure groups to become a condition of speech, once you open that up, there's no limit to it. And when you're dealing with speech, nothing should be a condition of your exercise of your First Amendment rights. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? Well, here you've got a member of the FCC threatening. Here he is. Here he is. He warns the broadcasters that if you don't line up on this women's lib thing like you ought to, you might lose your license. And before you lose it, you have complaints, you have hearings, you have attorney's fees, you have all kinds of headaches, and you have hundreds of hours of your precious time involved in attempting to defend yourself so you can save your investment in your station. There's no limit to where this thing's going to go. And I want all you people to join us now. Let's get to your congressman. Let's get these petitions circulating, every one of you. Let's get them. And don't let these congressmen have any peace until you get them straightened out, until they get lined up, and we'll get this complaint, or rather this petition, before the Congress of the United States. And I want you, please, everybody, get this petition in circulation. Get it in circulation. It asks 4 things. First, that Congress put the first casualty of speech, the first casualty of speech enforced by the FCC, back on the air. That's number 1. Second, it calls for a full investigation of the FCC. How is it that the FCC can line up with one religious group
Join them. The Broadcast Bureau of the FCC joined the Greater Philadelphia Council of Churches and those groups that were with it to ask that this station be put to death. Imagine the Broadcast Bureau becoming a prosecutor in the case that they themselves initiated. That's the kind of justice you've got down there in Washington, D.C. The second thing, or the third thing, we're asking that the fairness doctrine be totally abolished. We can get along all right with ourselves without government repression. Furthermore, there are 8,000 radio stations, and there are only 1,700, or only 1,400 it is, newspapers. And they don't have a fairness doctrine. They don't have a commission sitting over them, reading their pages and saying they've made a personal attack and they've got to give equal time. No, nothing like that happens in the newspaper world, because they've still got that freedom guaranteed to them, and the radios have had it taken away from them. And Dr. McIntyre is out now crusading. I'm in the greatest appeal that we've ever been in. We've got to have freedom, or they're going to crush the hearing of the gospel in this country. And I've just told you of a case here where a group were purchasing a station and going to have the license transferred to make a Christian station out of it. The group that was selling it back down, the finances collapsed, and you don't have a Christian station. All because WXUR was put to death by the FCC, and they're afraid that the same thing can be repeated in Washington, D.C., which it could be. Washington, D.C., AP, the terms of a U.S. government bank loan to help build a fertilizer plant in the Soviet Union are, quote, an outrage to the American public, Representative Charles A. Vanek, Democrat of Ohio, told the House. Vanek complained that an artificially low interest rate on the export-import bank loan amounts to a subsidy by the United States taxpayers of between $50 million and $75 million. Well, they got $180 million, ladies and gentlemen. They got $180 million from the Export-Import Bank at a rate interest of only 6%. No wonder we're subsidizing. No wonder we're appeasing. Here it is. All right, would you please write me today, dear lady, sir? And would you send us a wonderful, gracious gift? Our needs are great. We'd like to have you send us a contribution like Louis Cassell's did for Radio Free America. That radio is going to be used in this country as nothing else has been used, to help straighten out the whole radio world and the TV world and give freedom back to the broadcasters and back to the people. Radio Free America. I thank you people for your letters. I thank you people for the wonderful things you're doing. Here's one from down in Boytone Beach, Florida. I'm enclosing a gift in respect to your great courage in establishing Radio Free America. My prayer is that it will inspire millions to get involved. Please send me a package of monthly gift envelopes, first class mail. Good for you. Dear Dr. McIntyre's reading in the above daily readings, then picked my Christian beacon, and here was news about the ship. I just seemed to thrill, and this testimony is appropriate. That's from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Mrs. Richard F. Lund. Thank you, folks. Now write me, Collingswood, New Jersey. Get to your congressman. Get to them. Get your petitions in circulation. Please get busy. We want to get 1.5 million signatures to take in to Carl Albert. This whole thing is moving now. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. My address is Collingswood, New Jersey. And when you get your letters from your congressman, make copies of them and send them back to me. Thank God for John Rarick and what he's been willing to do in the Congress of this country for our freedom. Bye-bye.